Well, good morning to you all, those of you sitting in church, and to those who are watching on the live stream, and to all who will join us later on. Welcome to this service of worship, to this communion service. We're using these little individual communion sets, and I hope you all managed to pick one up when you come in. For those who've not used them before, there is a clear foil on the top which exposes the little red wafer, and then there's the purple foil that pulls off afterwards. They can be slightly fiddly, but just be aware that there's that those two layers to it. After the service, we're going to have teas and coffees through in the hall next door, and if it's an encouragement to you, I can let you know that some of the ladies have been doing some extra baking for various reasons this week, so what's on offer with your teas and coffees perhaps is more tempting than you might think or you might usually get. During the week, we've got our prayer time on Wednesday, as usual, when we're praying for the future of the church. And obviously, at this time, with all the changes in the Church of Scotland and in our own situation, praying for our future is important. Also, on Wednesday evening, we're not having our midweek chat because we're starting a Bible study series which will run throughout June, and the Bible studies will be follow-ons to the sermons throughout the month of June, and more information about that later, and the Zoom codes for that will come out with the newsletter on Monday. Next Sunday is the second Sunday of the month, and that is when we have our prayer meeting. Now, during lockdown, we have been doing those on Zoom in the evening, but prior to lockdown, we had started holding our prayer meetings on the second Sunday of the month before the morning service here in the small hall. And we feel that the time is right now that we can redo that, restart that. So if you want to join us for our prayer meeting next Sunday, then it's at 20 past 10 in the small hall before the service, which will be at 11 o'clock as usual. And one final thing, I've just been told this morning, and it's good to remind ourselves of the good work the thrift shop is doing. During the month of May, they raised a total of £559, and all that the thrift shop raises goes equally half to Christian Aid and the other half to support local charities. So thanks to Isabel and all who support her in that good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Alistair. It's a festive Sunday in many ways. As a country, it's the Jubilee weekend, and we have much to thank God for with our Queen. And so we celebrate it also in church today. But as a church, we celebrate the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit we were blessed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And as a congregation, we also celebrate Holy Communion today, as you can see with the cup and the bread, and as you can see by what you were able to take at the door. And all of this just brings us into worship. And I start us off with Psalm 40, verse 6, which reads as follows. Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Now, the literal Hebrew translation of this last bit is, ears you have dug for me, which I find quite fascinating. Ears you have dug for me. It's as if God is saying, well, today, on the day of Pentecost, I give you the Holy Spirit so that you may have ears, so you might be attuned to the good news of the gospel. And that's our prayer today. Lord, dig us ears. Lord, Holy Spirit, open us to the gospel. Let us worship the Lord. We start by singing CH 4:127, O Worship the King.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father God, as we gather before you, we are reminded of the outpouring of your Spirit on your church. We are reminded that we are not alone, but can proceed as your church, proceed with our lives in confidence that your Spirit will lead us and bring us home on the great day when your kingdom is finally revealed to all. Lord, Holy Spirit, breathe in us the new life our world so desperately needs. Shape our lives to exemplify the fruit of your Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Transform us to walk as children of the light in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. As we are gathered before you, we are grateful for your work in our society. We are grateful for your work in our local community and in our own lives. We come to you with all our desires and needs as we pray the prayer you have given your church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scene setter this morning is the phrase, how did I miss that? And I don't know whether it's an exclamation mark or a question mark to the purists. If I was to ask the question, what is the Bible about? I'd no doubt get a variety of answers. God's action in the world and his purpose with all creation. The good news of Jesus Christ. That was last week, the gospel in a nutshell, Zacchaeus. Another example might be it's all about the mystery of the kingdom of God. Mystery in the sense that it's not like a whodunit. Mystery in the sense that it makes no sense to those on the outside. It only makes sense to those on the inside, those who are followers, disciples of Jesus. And the kingdom of God is also a mystery because it's happening on earth in the here and now, but is yet still something yet to come. The Lone Ranger and Tonto went camping in the desert. After a good meal, they went to bed. Some hours later, Tonto wakes the Lone Ranger and says, "Look towards the sky. What do you see?" The Lone Ranger replies, "I see millions of stars." "What does that tell you?" asks Tonto. The Lone Ranger ponders for a moment and then replies, "Astronomically speaking, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately 3:15 in the morning. Theologically, the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, it seems we have a beautiful day tomorrow." "But what does it tell you, Tonto?" "You are dumber than buffalo droppings," Tonto replies. "It means somebody stole the tent." Sometimes things are not obvious until someone reveals it to you, and then your response, if it's anything like me, might be, "How did I miss that?" Here's another example, and it's given by Richard Wiseman, who is the professor for public understanding of psychology from the University of Hertfordshire. He's also a member of the Magic Circle. Oh, that was Tonto looking up at the sky. Here's the Magic Circle.
"Hi, I'm Richard. This is Sarah. And we're going to perform the amazing color-changing card trick with this blue-backed deck of cards. Now, the idea is very simple. I'm just going to spread the cards in front of Sarah and ask her to push any card towards the camera.
Right, okay, let's see. I'm going to go for this card here.
Okay. Now, Sarah could have selected any card at all from the deck, but she selected the card which is now face down on the table. What I'm going to ask her to do is show us which card she selected.
Right, so the card that I chose was, in fact, the Three of Diamonds.
The Three of Diamonds, okay, an excellent choice. That card goes back into the deck. Now I'm just going to spread the cards face up on the table, do a little click of the fingers, and you'll see that Sarah's card here has now got a blue back. Not particularly surprising. What's slightly more surprising is all of the other cards have got red backs. And that is the amazing colour-changing card trick. I'm Richard, this is Sarah, and we're going to perform the amazing colour-changing card trick with this blue-backed deck of cards. Now the idea is very simple. I'm just going to spread the cards in front of Sarah and ask her to push any card towards the camera.
Right, okay, let's see. I'm going to go for this card here.
Okay. Now Sarah could have selected any card at all from the deck, but she selected the card which is now face down on the table. What I'm going to ask her to do is show us which card she selected.
Right, so the card that I chose was, in fact, the Three of Diamonds.
The Three of Diamonds, okay, an excellent choice. That card goes back into the deck. Now I'm just going to spread the cards face up on the table, do a little click of the fingers, and you'll see that Sarah's card here has now got a blue back. Not particularly surprising, what's slightly more surprising is all of the other cards have got red backs. And that is the amazing colour-changing card trick.
Okay, was your reaction, how did I miss that? Oh, and by the way, how many of you spotted the gorilla? We'll explore this reaction further. How did I miss that? From a reading this morning from Matthew 4, 1-20, read by Elspeth Jackson. Elspeth.
Mark 4, the parable of the sower, also known as the parable of the seed and the parable of the four soils. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still another seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, something multiplied 30, some 60, some 100. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and every hearing but nothing understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and desires for others come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Amen.
Thank you, Elspeth. "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Whoever has ears, let them hear. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." In Connect this morning, we did the same parable, but looking at Matthew's account. So this is complementary, ground obviously, same ground covered, slightly different. Jesus' ministry began with them demonstrating his authority over nature. Think of the stilling of the storm. Over the supernatural, think of him casting out demons. And over the religious authorities, i.e., they couldn't beat him in an argument. And his CV was beginning to look promising for the large crowds he was attracting. For he might just be the all-conquering hero that they were waiting for, the person who would defeat the Roman Empire, or at least kick the Romans out of their land. And it was also a promising CV for those who wanted live entertainment. He didn't quite know what he was going to do next, but he knew it was going to be good. Then there's a big but. In fact, it's not one but a number of buts. Not least, he associates with people unbecoming of a Messiah. He wants people to keep quiet about his miracles. He breaks the commandments, especially on keeping the Sabbath. And he talks in parables. His family think he's crazy. The religious leaders think he is possessed. The stories he tells are unsettling. They were then, and they still are for us today. As we try to understand them in the context they were delivered, and as we try to understand their relevance for us today, especially as we consider the future direction of SALU in a missionary context. But why the buts? Why the secrecy? Why the parables? It's because Jesus is not wanting to be seen as an entertainer or an all-conquering hero who, with his supernatural powers, could defeat the Roman occupation just like that. So the sooner we learn that his ways are not our ways, the better. His kingdom, the kingdom of God, is an upside-down kingdom. It's a reversal of our value systems, and it looks so very different from what had gone before. For Jesus breaks the mold of the all-conquering messianic figure. His kingdom is not a geographical, limited military state ruled by a God who coerces people to do his bidding. It's a kingdom that began with Jesus' ministry. It's mysterious, and it demands a personal response, inviting you to be part of it. There is no coercion. Through grace, you accept it, you receive it, you enter it. It's as we have seen previously, God's people in God's place under God's rule. So it's both a realm and a rule. It's in the here and now and in the world to come. And it's both visible and invisible. And we learn about it through parables. And the word parable comes from the idea of to set alongside earthly stories with heavenly meanings. The idea was to set a spiritual truth alongside a daily truth of living. Parables are like stones in your shoes. They irritate you. On the surface, the story is innocuous until you realize you are part of that story. The parable starts off as a picture that is familiar to the listeners. But as you carefully consider the picture, it becomes a mirror in which you see yourself. And many people, as we know, don't like what they see. Perhaps explaining why some of Jesus' listeners became angry when they heard his parables and even tried to kill him. But if we see ourselves as needy sinners and ask for help, we become Jesus' followers, his disciples, and the mirror then becomes a window through which we see God and how he works. The parable of the sower is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In all three, the text follows the same structure. The parable is told, there is no context. The disciples then ask Jesus about the parables, which Jesus answers, and then finally, Jesus interprets the parable. So why did the disciples find it so difficult to understand? The parable is obvious, isn't it? Or have I missed something? Okay, let's look at the parable. There were crowds following and listening to Jesus. Crowds that were so big, he had to talk to them on a boat from the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was surrounded by hills, and this created a natural amphitheater. The acoustics were good. Some in the crowd were following him for entertainment value. They wanted to see him perform more miracles. Some were checking him out to see if he was the all-conquering hero, while others were genuinely wanting to try and understand what Jesus was about. And then Jesus just launches into a story about a farmer who scatters seed, which settles onto four types of soil. Jesus gives no context. A farmer sowing seed. It would be an everyday experience, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And then after telling it, he says, "He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus is challenging his listeners to understand the spiritual significance. What's he getting at? It's obvious he's talking about something other than agriculture. And he replies to his disciples, to those who become a follower of Jesus, to us, these parables are to do with the kingdom of God. The key that unlocks their meaning is to be a genuine follower of Jesus. You need to be on the inside to understand them. Jesus quotes Isaiah 6, 9, 10. They may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Is Jesus preaching some sort of doublespeak? I think it's perhaps tongue-in-cheek. This is one of the hard sayings of Jesus. This quote comes from where God commissions Isaiah to preach to a disobedient Israel. These words are also found in Matthew and Luke's account of the parable, as well as in John and Acts. And what I found particularly helpful in beginning to get my head around what he was talking about here, especially the lest they should turn and be forgiven part, is this phrase. The same sun that softens the wax hardens the clay. Parables reveal truth to people who want to understand. It conceals truth from those who don't want to understand. The people who don't want to be forgiven because they don't see the need. Lest they turn and be forgiven, I think Jesus is being a bit tongue-in-cheek about this. As I have suggested, the mystery of the kingdom of God is only revealed to those who are already inside the kingdom, who are already citizens, who have chosen to follow Jesus, who recognize his need, their need for forgiveness. Understanding the parables is to take disciples into the deeper things of faith, things not grasped by human logic, but revealed by God. And then there's more doublespeak, isn't there? Having said that he won't give the meaning of the parable, Jesus then gives the meaning of the parable. However, his explanation is still not that obvious. It keeps working at the parable, keeps working like a stone, that pebble in the shoe. So a quick summary of the parable. A farmer, seed, four types of soil. Some seed is unfruitful, some is fruitful. The seed that is unfruitful falls on the path where the birds get it, falls on the rocks where the sun gets it, and falls among the thorns where it's choked out by the thorns. So what I suggest we do this morning is look at this parable through two lenses. The first lens is through the parable of the four soils. Here is a farmer who proclaims, "It's you and me, anybody who is a Jesus follower." Our responsibility is to sow the seed, the gospel. And the seed being the good news of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And there are four types of soil, which highlights four different responses to the gospel. The soil is the human heart. An individual's reaction is determined by the condition of their heart, the soil. So Jesus paints the picture of four hearts: the hard heart, the shallow heart, the divided heart, and lastly, the open heart. Realizing that not everyone who hears the gospel understands and believes. And the challenge through this lens is, which soil are we? Which heart do we have? Do we show a complete lack of response, the hard heart, or a superficial commitment, the shallow heart, or a genuine interest, but the cost of discipleship is too much to commit to? There are too many other interests, so we have a divided heart. Or the best option, the open heart, a commitment to be a follower of Jesus and take him seriously. And the kingdom of God comes when the seed and the soil come together, when the word comes to a receptive heart and bears fruit. The second lens emphasizes the parable as the parable of the seed. The parable viewed through this lens becomes more about how the kingdom of God is present throughout the world, both visibly and invisibly, rather than just in the hearts of a Jesus follower. Here, the farmer is God the Father. Here, the seed is the Word of God, Jesus. And the four types of soil represent the world. The seed, as I said, is the Word of God, is Jesus. And if we look at John 1, that well-known passage, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." So God the Father sows Jesus in the world. Seeds are small. They have their power in themselves for the generation of life and fruit. They disappear into the soil and work quietly under the surface, doing their thing invisibly until they become visible. This is how Jesus builds his kingdom. Jesus is working away in the world until he comes again in all his glory. Until then, regardless of the soil, the environment, the seed still does its work. And note, there are different outcomes depending on the environment in which the seed was sown. In the hostile environments, the rocks and the thorns, the seed still does what seeds do. It germinates, it grows. And even if the seed doesn't take root, falls on the hard path, birds eat the seeds and take the seed to other places where it will germinate. Think of the candle scene setter from 2 weeks ago. Seeds do what seeds do. And if we see the farmer as God the Father, we can have confidence as we take up the Great Commission to go into the world, to go into Langbride and Urquhart, to make disciples. We can know Jesus already at work there, whatever the environment we face. So what's the application? The presbytery plan is for us to locate to Langbride and Urquhart. We are to be a missional church, a sent people to the communities of Langbride and Urquhart. We are not to build and extend the kingdom of God, for it's already there. It may be visible, it may be invisible, but it's there. We as the church are to bring the good news of what Jesus has done and is doing through word and lifestyle. We are to make disciples. We are to show people how to follow Jesus, how to receive and enter the kingdom of God. Salu is to be a sign, a foretaste, an agent, and an instrument of the kingdom of God. Some of the ground may be hostile, some may be good. While Jesus was on the earth, the focus of his teaching and ministry was on the kingdom of God. In the coming weeks, God willing, we will increase our understanding of God's kingdom, how to live it and carry its message in our Bible studies and our time together on Sundays. May our reaction be, how did I miss that, as we learn together. The kingdom of God was Jesus' campaign slogan. May it also be ours. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for all the ways you have sown the seed of your word in our lives. Through the living relationship we share with Jesus, through the movement of the Holy Spirit within our hearts, through the preaching and reading of your word, through the fellowship of the church, through the daily experience of your love. Equip us to take your message of the kingdom in word, in action, and lifestyle into Langbride and Urquhart, so that we be both an instrument and an agent of your kingdom in the here and now, and a sign and a foretaste of your kingdom to come. To hear the words, how did I miss that, as people enter your kingdom for the first time, and how did I miss that in ourselves, as we explore your word further in our Bible studies. Amen. We'll now sing, and I can't remember. No.
Thank you, Grant.
We'll now, we are all invited to the table. The table with the bread and the wine. All who are broken are invited to see and taste the signs of Christ's broken body that brings healing to all of us. And so to prepare us for the bread and wine, let us remind ourselves and each other of the riches of our faith by saying together the Apostles' Creed. Would you please join me? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart, to be unto this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and he blessed, let us draw near to God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Lord God, Holy Father, you loved the world so much that you gave your only Son, that everyone who has faith in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Lord Jesus, our Savior, loving us to the end, you gave yourself to death for us and set us free from the bonds of sin, that we might become who we were created to be, that we might rise and reign with you in glory. O Holy Spirit, you convinced us of the truth that we are sinners, but you console us by opening us up to grace. Do that now as we receive this bread and wine. Amen. Taste and see that God is good. Happy are those who trust in him. According to the Holy Institute, the example and the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as a memorial to him, we do this, who, the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had blessed and given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in memory of me." And now take, eat. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this, remembering him. This cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Take, drink. This is the blood of Christ, which was shed for you. Do this, remembering him. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you glory, thanks, and praise for the dying and undying love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In your great goodness, you've brought us into communion with him and with all who love him, and made us heirs of your everlasting kingdom. By your grace, may we continue in this holy fellowship and live to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through the sacrifice of Christ's broken body, we are restored. Restored to serve our Lord. Let us sing as a hymn of commitment, CH 4694, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Let us pray. Lord God, you endlessly give yourself to us in so many ways. Take this offering as our small response and as a symbol of our lives given to you, dedicated to your service. Use this in your kingdom, making your goodness felt where it is needed most. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grant Petrie will now lead us in our prayers for the future and intercession. Thank you, Grant.
So let us pray, and there will be things up on the screen as well. Let us pray. Lord, we give thanks to Her Majesty the Queen on her Platinum Jubilee. Her steadfast stewardship through the years has helped steer our country through many different worldwide events. Her discipleship, grace, and dignity for your creation and humanity should be an example to us all. May we give thanks to Her Majesty for the support she has given to the Church of Scotland through the Lord High Commissioner and the Chapel Royal. May her mobility issues not preclude her from carrying out her duty as your servant. We also extend our prayers to Prince Charles, William, and the wider family as they take on an increased role in the coming months and years. We continue to pray for our National Health Service as they continue to deal with the COVID pandemic, whilst treating other conditions that have been left untreated as a result. We give our thanks to the medical, nursing, and other healthcare workers who have worked courageously through the most difficult of times. May you care and support them through this. We hope that the current monkeypox risk does not add to their burden. We must not forget that the work of the informal carers have given to care for their families in this time. May this overlooked group find respite when things become overwhelming and find strength in you to carry on. Let us also pray for those struggling physically and emotionally in this time as they await treatment. May we now bring before you, in a moment of silence, all those in our hearts and need your care and support. We continue to pray for the future of our church here in Lambride and Uckert. Be with the members of our Kirk session as they discern the Presbytery mission plan and prepare their response. We must not forget the other congregations that will be doing the same. May you guide us through this process, Lord, and illuminate the path that you wish us to take. Be with the Presbytery members as they attempt to make the plan to benefit everyone. Lord, we give thanks to all the commissioners that attended the General Assembly last week. It was encouraging to see the Assembly return and highlight the work that your church undertakes. We celebrate the work of Crossreach, who deliver vital social care in vital settings throughout Scotland. The highlighting of various issues that are affecting Scotland and the wider world, and giving us the tools to sow the seeds and proclaim the gospel. We hope that the final approval for the same-sex marriages to be conducted in our church may put an end to the fighting, and hope that the church can now unite and be a place where we all feel welcome and respected. We pray for the moderator and the new principal clerk as they start out on their journey to serve you. Lord, we continue to pray for an end to the war in Ukraine. May there be a quick resolution to the conflict, and pray that the leaders of Russia and the Ukraine can come together for peace talks. We continue to pray for the refugees displaced as a result and are torn apart from their family and friends. Please let our anger at the situation be used as a positive vehicle for good. May the aid agencies working in this area be with them now and give them the practical and emotional support they so desperately need. Lord, we pray for all those that are currently struggling with the cost of living crisis and the sadness that comes with it. It's deplorable that individuals need to choose whether they eat or heat their homes. May our elected representatives find a way to help in this difficult time and do not rely upon the goodwill of food banks and other charities. Lord, we give thanks for your creation. We often take it for granted, but let us enjoy the weather and take advantage of the local forests, hills and beaches, and the happiness that they bring to so many. We give thanks to the new bridge in Lossiemouth. And may we not forget about climate change and vow to protect your creation as much as possible. Lord, we make these prayers in your name, all of our emotions and issues brought together, knowing that you are the Almighty Lord who created us all to have freedoms and that we so enjoy. We know and understand that you have a plan for all of us, and in that we must trust you completely and unreservedly, especially as we remember in this communion service and under the symbol of your cross. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Grant. Our closing hymn is the hymn that Jane took as a prayer last week that can be summarized in one of the phrases from the Our Father, Thy Kingdom Come. We sing as our closing hymn, CH 4259, Beautiful Brokenness. Go now in a world where God is still sowing the seeds day by day. Go with God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious toward you. The Lord lift his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.